This is Perek Tes Vav in Hilchos Tzaraas, continuing with halachas about blemishes, negayim that appear in houses. Halacha Aleph, negay batim yish behen hezger shlosha shavuos shein tisha asar yom. So when it comes to quarantining a house that's suspected of having a nega, so that's a three-week period of time of quarantine, which is 19 days. How does that work out? Yom Shvi Olakan Lakan, because the seventh day of the first week counts for both the first and second week. Yom Shoshas or Olakan Lakan, and the 13th day, which is the end of the second week, also counts for the beginning of the third week. Nimse Zatalomech im Tsarech Lishloshavuos. Therefore, we learn out that if you need the actual quarantine for 3 weeks, Ra'ahu B'Shvi of Yom Yud Gimel of Yom Tishasar. So you do the examinations on the 7th, 13th, and 19th day. The Hezger Batim Shloshavuos Inim Forsh B'Torah. Now, this quarantining of 3 weeks is not explicit in the Torah. So too, when it comes to most of the halachas that have to do with blemishes, negayim, and houses, it's all through Torah Shebaal Peh. Not much of it is found in the Torah. Halacha Beis. So all the halachas that are that apply to the houses that are clear in the Torah as well, and we understand through Torah Shebaal Peh. Kishiyava kohen v'yira nega shokeya yirak rako tamdam kamosh v'yanu. So when a Kohen comes along and he sees a blemish and he sees it's either deep red or deep green and it's sunk in the walls, Yasker Shivas Yamim, he puts it into quarantine for 7 days. Afilu Masa Kula Batkil Yarakrak on Dam Yasker. Even if he finds the entire house filled with these Negaim, either red or green, he still puts it in quarantine. Vashvi Ra'ahu in Keha Hanega. So on the seventh day, he inspects to see if the Nega got weaker. Then Sarah Lomar, Imalach, Kolif Makam Nega, Bavad, Vabaisar. And of course, If the nega disappeared entirely, then the Kohen would pronounce the house to be tahor. Matzu shama beina v'lo fasa. Now let's say the Kohen inspects the house, the nega is still there, but it didn't increase, right? Maskir shavu sheni. He puts the house into quarantine for a second week. V'ro b'yom shosha sarim keha nega o halach lo kolif makom hanega u'metaras abayis v'sivar. So if at the end of the second week, which would be the 13th day, if he sees that the blemish either got weaker in appearance or disappeared, so then he peels away the place of the nega, and then he makes the bias a pure using birds, which we'll get to later. Then matza nega shapasa b'so shavu sheni. Now let's say it turns out that the blemish spread by the end of the second week, osha ama beino, or it stood where it's still in place. Choletes savanam shavahem. So then he has to take the stone area that supported it, shavahen a nega that has a nega in it, umiksa ha'afar al mechutz la'ir. And then what he does is he takes the stone that the nega's on along with the dirt around it to outside the city, the tachas kolabayas, and then he has to plaster the entire house, umaskiro shavuos lishi, and then he puts the house into quarantine for a third week. Now, v'yom shishasar, let's say on the 19th day, ra'ohu, he goes back and inspects the house again. Im chazar bo nega kishnegri. So now let's say, again, he'd already taken out the blemish as attached to the wall, so to speak, that piece, and thrown it away. Let's say the nega returns and it's kishnei gris, it's a size, the minimum shear required. Harezer pisyon, acharei telach, that's considered spread after plastering the house. Then no says it's called bias, the entire house gets destroyed. Then lo chazerbo nega mitara b'tzipar. And if, as long as the blemish doesn't return, the house becomes tahor through the birds. The chozman shiachzerbo nega, kodem shi tara b'tzipar. And raising nasa, so anytime though that the blemish returns before purifying the house using the birds, then you have to destroy the house. The nirbo nega achar shetihara b'tziporim yerbetchila. So now, let's say he finds a blemish after the house was deemed to be tahor, then he has to do a new examination. So too, v'cheni pasa hanega b'stoshibor rishon. Let's say the nega spread at the end of the first week. Choletz as avanu shabahen. So he cuts out the stones it's attached to hanega. The kotza afar, and as well as the dirt around it. Chutz le'ir, he brings it to outside the city. The tachas kolabayis, he then has to plaster the entire house. Umasgiro shavuosheni, and he puts into quarantine for a second week. Veroa, and he sees imatzabo nega kishnei grisin. He sees again to see if he finds a blemish that's too grisin in size. Hareza pisyon achare hitoach. That's considered a spread of the nega after plastering the house. The nose is called bias, the entire house gets destroyed. Vimlo chazerbo nega, but if the nega doesn't return, mitara bo tziporim, then again he can purify the house using tziporim, birds. Vichosman shirbo nega kodem tara bo tziporim nasates. As long as he sees a blemish prior to the house being deemed tahor through the tziporim, he would then destroy it. However, if he sees the nega return after he went ahead and made the house tahor using tziporim, then he has to reassess the house from the beginning as if it has a new nega. So when he removes the stones that have the blemish on them, he should not remove less than two stones or fewer than two stones. He can't take stones from, let's say, one side of the house and bring them to the other. And not so too, not the mortar or dirt from one side. He can't plaster the house with lime. Ella ba'afar, he has to use mortar. Shenemar ba'afar acher yikach. Ainu maybe even achas tachashnayim. He can't bring one stone to replace the two that he removed. Shechalatz. Lo shtei avanim tachas even achas chalutza. Nor can he use two stones to replace one that's removed. Ella maybe shtayim tachashnayim. Rather, if two are removed to replace, veishol lahavi shtayim tachashalosh. However, he can bring two stones to replace three that he took out. Alachadal haya kosol beinu levein chaveru. Let's say there was a nega found in a wall that was shared between two houses. That's a wall shared between them. So both of them must remove the stone. They both must take the mortar as well that's supporting the stone. And both of them must bring new stones. But the owner of the house, maybe levado as afar, he alone brings the mortar. Shnemar v'afar acher yikach v'tach. Right, so he brings the mortar and replasters. So you see that because it says that he brings it, like yikach, that means he does it alone. He doesn't need his friend to help him with the plastering. Hey, Evan Shebizavis. Right, so let's say I have what it called a blemish, a nega on a stone that's in the corner of a house. Bizmanshu cholitz. So when he removes that cornerstone, cholitz is kula. He removes the whole thing. Bizmanshu noses, and when he comes to destroy the house, noses es shalom. So then he must destroy, let's say, his. And again, in this situation of the corner, let's say it's a shared area. He leaves his friends aside. And it's a question about whether, what it called, in the case where, let's say, the stone that the nega's on projects into my neighbor's home, whether that's considered to be something that would therefore bring tumah with it. Let's say I have a house and there is a nega found inside it. V'haisa aliyah agavav, and there's an attic above it. No sinas akoros le'aliyah. So then the ceiling should be left, so to speak, for the attic. Nira ba'aliyah, let's say you found the blemish in the attic. No sinas akoros le'bayis. Then the beams on the floor of the aliyah are considered for the roof of the house. Lo'haisa aliyah agavav, avana ve'itzav afaro, kulin tzatzan imam. Now, let's say the attic, what it calls, not, let's say there's no attic on top of it. So then everything's destroyed with it, the wood, etc. Matzel samalvenim, however, you can, you can save, so to speak, the partitions that are on the roof area, as well as the, the blind, so to speak, of the windows. Aloch hazayim, halokeach havanim mibayis moskar. Let's say a person takes stones from a house that's been in quarantine, uvanan bebayis tahor, and he uses them to build in a house that's tahor, chazar nega lemuskar. Let's say the nega returns to the house that's in quarantine, cholitz is a vanam shebatahor. Then you actually have to cut the stones out from the house that's tahor. Nira nega alavanam shebanaham muskar. Let's say the nega is found in stones that you built in the house that's quarantined, yinaseitz, it's destroyed. Bebayis hasheni, the second house that you brought these stones into, maskirnus obenega zeh. Right, you basically put into quarantine as if it has a nega. And we treat it like any house that actually had a blemish from the outset. For the end of Parak Tesvav. Right, so what do you do? Let's say you have a house that had a blemish on it and you want to make it tahor after the stones were moved and you went ahead and plastered it. Maybe mayim chayim b'chichara. So we know you wring the paraduma type water in an earthenware container. Ushtetzi parim, two birds, the eights eras, the ezov, the cedar and the hyssop, ushni talas, as well as the red string, kitaras adam shmiran holdavar. Just like you would make a person tahor etzaras, you do the same ceremony by the house. Elo shabadam maza shevavamim achar yado shalt mitzora. But the difference is by a person, you sprinkle the water seven times in the back of his arm, the back of his hand. But by the house, ubabayis maza shevavam mashkov shalbayis mibuchutz ushrakol masein shavim. But by the house, you go ahead and sprinkle the water, the blood mixture. Remember, it's because you shaft one of the two birds into the blood. You sprinkle the blood mixture on the doorpost from facing outside. But all the rest of the actions are identical between the two. That ends Perek Tesvav, and we will continue to Perek Tzayin to finish off Hilchos Tumas Tzaras. So Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, just like we have by clothing and by a person, Bayis HaMenuga Av Ma'avos HaTumos Kol Negevo Nitma. So a house that's deemed to have Tzaras is considered a primary category of Tumah, and anyone touches it gets Tumah. V'chein Avonim Shechol Tzimenu Achar Hezger Avonim Ba'itzim Avar Shabayis Kishenos No Tatsin Oso. So too the stones that you cut out with a nega on them after quarantine, or the materials that house is built out of, when you destroy it, kulon avos tumos, all those things contain, are considered primary tumma. So a kazayis of any one of those things causes tumma to a person or to any vessels, whether it's by touching, carrying, or through bringing it into a house. So ketzah, so what's an example? Let's say bring a kazayis of the stone that the nega was on, into a bias that is tahor, nitzma kosher a bias, me'adam v'keilim. So then everything's in the house, whether it's a person or a kli, is tameh, shekulim etama v'biyah ke'adam etzaras, because everything gets tameh if you bring it to the house, like a person who has tzaras, the kulon etzarim banav, and they're all prohibited to get benefit from. Then sarfan v'asam hensid, now let's say you burnt it and make it into lime, then areza asar banah, I still can't benefit from it, shenemar tzaras ameres, ten bo me'era v'al tahana bo. So basically consider it some type of curse, right, and don't benefit from it. The kulam v'shachon osan chutz la'ir, and all of it basically is dumped outside the city. Al pi she'ena mukafas choma, even if the city is not surrounded by a wall. Lachabez bayis muskar, a house that's in quarantine. Ena matama el mitocho. So at that point, it only produces tuma from its inside. Shnemar v'avala bayis kol yimei hiskiroso yitzman arif. The Torah says it openly. Aval muchlap, but once the house is considered definitively to have tzaras, Metama mitocha umachorov. It's metama, that which is inside it, and it actually expresses tama outside of it. Shanagebo machorov, if someone touches the outside of the house, tame, he becomes tame. Shnemar tzaras ameres, bais tamehu. Vechitor haya, elo lahosif lo tuma al tumaso. So the Torah is teaching you to add tuma, so to speak, on tuma. Shiakulo tame, meaning the whole house is tame, vitma machorov, and even can become tame from the outside of it. Vechinavonim sheish behena nega, b'muskar, metam machorin. So to the stones that have the nega on them at the time of quarantine, they also are able to metame, produce tumah, what are called, outside of them as well. So it doesn't matter if the house is in quarantine or if it's been determined definitively to have tzaras. Either way, tumah is imparted through entering into the house. So Ketza, what's an example? Bayis shehaya meisach agabe bayis menuga beimulcha beimuskar. So let's say you have a house that's built over a house that had a nega on it, whether that house was isolated or the definitively decide to have tzaras. Oh, Elon, let's say take a tree, who mesach alav, or let's say you have a tree that's standing, a tree is standing over this type of house that had the neg on it. So if I stand under that tree, or I go into the house that's on top of the destroyed house, tameh. Because him and the house and that which is underneath it is all tameh through ohel. V'chein even menugas, so too the stone that's considered, that has the neg on it, hanichnesas ohal, that's brought into a tent, the hunachas sham is left there, nitma kol shav ohal, everything inside the covered tent is tameh. Haizu menachas tachas ilan, let's say it's underneath a tree, v'atar over, and let's say a person whose tar passes through it, nitma, he becomes tameh. Hayatar ome tachas ilan, let's say a tar is underneath the tree, v'avar adam be'even menugas, and let's say a person carrying a stone that has a nega on it, lo tamu, then it's not tameh. But if you left it there, tameu, it becomes tameh, she mushav hamenuga kamo, she moshav hamenuga kamo, because that which he sits on is like him, bein adam and kinla bein avanim ve'itzav afar, whether it's the person or a vessel or the materials that the house is made from. Lachadal ha-mahel b'yadol evim menugas, let's say a person holds his hand over a stone that has a nega on it, or let's say the stone with the nega on it's held over him, tar, he's tar achiga until he actually touches the stone. Let's say someone who's tar goes into a house that has a nega on it, but walking backwards, okay? I feel nechnas kulo, even if he goes in completely, chutz mechotmo, except for his nose, tar. Why is he tar? Shnemar v'abalabai is derech bia it has to be the normal way of entering to make it tameh. If a person who is tahor puts his head and most of his body into a house that's tameh, he becomes tameh. So too, a garment, a shirt, let's say that's tahor, 3x3 enters into the house, so he becomes tameh. So to an earthenware container where the inside of it is put inside the house of Tameh, it becomes Tameh. When it comes to other types of vessels, it's only until you put most of the Kli in. And when most of it's in, that's when it becomes Tameh. This only applies to cases of what do you call it, of vessels that were brought in that weren't worn. Let's say a person from a Jewish person enters a house that's designated to have, that's diagnosed with tzaraas, who lavosh bevgadav, v'salandav, braglo, v'tavos bevyadav. But let's say he's wearing his clothing and his shoes and it rings on his finger. Haria adam tameh miyad. That person becomes tameh immediately. Uvegadav taharim. His clothes are tahar. Achi shasham kadesh yisav adam. His clothing remains tahar until he basically has enough time to eat bread. Okay. V'yochal kashlosh beitzim paschitim beliftam, which is approximately 3 eggs worth of wheat bread with some sort of let's say spread. A person who resides or sleeps there, so to speak, who lies down there, has to wash his clothes. So you're going to think that maybe your clothing, what it calls, not able to get tamei until you actually eat there. No, elitin shir l'shochet kocha. Doesn't mean that if you actually eat in there, rather it's the amount of time. Yoshev ome, doesn't matter if I'm lying down or sitting or standing. Im shakri lechol shir achila hamura. If I stay enough time in there for the time that it would take me to eat this amount, nitzmo begadav, then my clothing becomes tameh. Halacha zayin. Mishenichlas the base menuga, the kelev aksefo. Let's say a person enters into a house that has saras and his, he's carrying clothing over his shoulders, visandalo, vitabata, vikapav, and let's say his shoes or his rings are in his hands. Who vehain tameh, they both the clothes and him are tameh miyad. Because it's only when I'm wearing the clothes that I can be safe from tumah. So to an animal or a non-Jew, let's say they're wearing clothes, and let's say they walk into a house that's aras, their clothing becomes tumah. However, a non-Jew does not get tumah like an animal would. Let's say a person standing in the house that's aras, who pasha yadav, He sticks his hands outside chutzah bayis of the house. V'tabosa biyado, when the rings are in his hand. Im shak de achil ashir, if he stayed in the house for the time to eat, as discussed before, nitzmu atabos, the rings become not tame. Afli shem b'chutz, even though they're outside. So too, v'chena ome b'chutz, let's say someone standing outside. Upashet yado lebeis menuga, and he sticks his hand into the house that's haras. Nitzmu yado b'vad miyad, so only his hands become tame immediately. Then the shtau sham k'dei achil ashir. Let's say he's kept them there for the time it would take to eat the bread. Nitzmu tabosav, then his rings will become tame. Vim lav tahoros. But if not, they retain their status as being tahor. Lachetes. Kolam matzam mitzav apasal ames. So as we know, there are halachas where I have an earthenware container that's sealed, that the stuff inside is saved, so to speak, from tumah. Matzam lachusav abeis menuga. Also, if it's sealed, it's the things inside are protected in a house that's haraz. Kolam matzam lachusav ames. And so too, anything that would save tumah that's covered in an oel with a dead body, even if it's uncovered in the house of Saras, it's tahor. So what does it mean? Let's say you have an earthenware container or a stone one, etc. Shayu oklin mashkin, the kelim besochan. Let's say, for instance, there's food inside it. Vayu mechusim beis menuga, and it's covered inside the Saras house. Alpish ena mukofin summit pasil, right? But even though it's not sealed, right, but it's still closed. Nonetheless, that's what's inside is tahor. Habor v'hadosho bayis. Now, whether there's a storage area or cistern inside the house, a menuga that has tzaras, afli she'en megulin, even though they are uncovered, kelim shebesochan tahorin. Anything that's inside it in the cistern, for instance, would still be considered tahor. Okay, now the Rambam ends off with a little bit of philosophy. It's a little bit of a long halacha, but he really goes through a lot of the core ideas of tzaras. He says as follows. So the term tzaras is collective. It includes many different concepts that aren't really alike. For example, when a person's skin becomes white, that's called tzaras. So too, if some of the hair of his head or chin comes off, it's called tzaras. And so too, the change in the appearance inside clothing or houses is also called tzaras. Right, and all these terms of tzaras that's used when it comes to houses or clothing, It's in a Magosh Olam. These things are not things that occur naturally. Rather, Ella Osupella, Hayab Yisrael, right? Rather, there's some sort of miracle, a sign and a wonder that happens among the Jewish people, Kedei Lazirim Lashon Hara, to warn us not to engage in Lashon Hara. Shemesapra, Lashon Hara, Mishtanos, Kiros Beso, because if someone speaks Lashon Hara, the walls of his house will change color. Im Chazerbo, Yitar Abayis. But if he, what do you call it? If he repents, does tshuva, so then the house will return back to normal. However, Imam of Risho, if he does not, until, let's say, the house becomes destroyed. So the leather kelim will retain their color when he sits and lies in them. But let's say he does tshuva, they'll go back to yitar. But if he doesn't, even if they burn the clothes, but let's say he does tshuva, but let's say he, again, sticks to his ways until more of his stuff is burnt, mishtane oro, then his skin will change color, v'yitzdarea, v'yemuvdol, v'fursom avado, ashal yitzasek, v'sichas hasharam. Then he'll be separated through the tzras that happens on his skin from everyone else, ashal yitzasek, v'sichas hasharam, v'leitzonos, v'lashon hara, until he's prevented, he stops saying a wicked talk, which is both foolish and lashon hara. V'alien zeh, mazir b'torah, that's what the Torah says, v'omer, yishar v'negat tzras, zachor es asher asa Hashem, l'kach l'miram v'derach, referencing the episode of tzras by Miriam. How are you, Homer? His bonu ma'ir leMiriam anavia. Should right pay attention to what happened to Miriam. Right, she dibra b'achia shaisad gadol menu b'shanim. She spoke about her brother who was older, the ugdilaso alberkea, and she helped raise him, so to speak. V'sachna ba'atzma lahatzila menayam, and she risked her life to save him. V'ilo dibra b'genuso. She didn't even speak to denigrate him. Ela ta'asa. Right, rather she made a mistake. She shvasol shanavim, that she made him equal to other prophets. V'hu lo hikpeda called Rama ilo, and Moshe wasn't bothered by that. Shemar. Nonetheless, miyad nensha b'tzaras. So immediately she was punished with tzaras. Kavachomer livni adam rishayim atipshim. So too, even more so, by evil people who are stupid. Shemar ben ladaber gdolos v'niflos. Right, so that basically end up saying foolish. They talk a lot about great matters. The vikach therefore roy l'mishu rotz l'chaven or chosav li'zrachik mishivasan udari mayan. That's why a person should be very careful. He should go ahead and distance himself as much as possible from situations where people speak inappropriately, okay, and not get caught up in their stupidity. That's the way normally that foolish people and evil people start. They start talking a lot of stupidity, about dumb things, as it says in Mishlei. And that's why they're going to come, sorry, it's from Kalas. And at the time, they're going to come talk about talking foolishly. They're going to start denigrating righteous people. Kenyan Shemar, Talmenos, Sifsei Sheker, Adobros, Atzadigat. Vitokach, from this, Yelahen, Hergel, Udaber, Menevim. Then it's going to lead them to talk bad, evil about prophets. Vasei, Dofi, Bidifrayim, and not trust them. Kenyan Shemar, Vim, Alvim, Alachi, Elohim. Ubozim, Devar, Matatim, Menevim. Vitokach, from this, Boyin, Udaber, Elohim. Then they're going to start talking about God, the Kofrim, Beikar. And they're going to deny and become ultimate heretics. Kenyan Shemar, right, so this basically leads to, again, is he saying heresy because of the fact that these tongues were able to speak as they saw fit. Zuhi sichos rishayim. This is the talk of evil people. Shagram san yeshivas karnos yeshivas kneshos amay aretz. Because what this does is that it causes gathering together by, they gather together on the corners of the blocks, and lots of the Amarites gather together, Yeshivas Bat Mishtos, Yeshivas Shechar, as well as spending time at drunken parties. Avasichas Kashra Yisrael, but the talk of the good people, the Kashra Jews, and Alamud Divrei Torah Chokhmah, they only speak in Torah and wisdom. The Vigah Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ozer Al Yodon, Mazachos Sambahen, that's why God helps them. Shenemar Oz Bidbaro, Yirei Hashem, Ishar Ehu, V'yakshev Hashem Yishma, V'yakshev Yishchon Lefanov, the Yerushim, the Choshvei, Shmo. That ends Parak design that ends Hilchos Tumas Saras.